cloudy with a wind chill of 27. At Friends Plaza in Urbana, right outside of our studios, it is 37 degrees. You're listening to the Afternoon Magazine on WILL.
McKinley Church and Foundation congratulates the winners of the Foundation's 2013 Social Justice Awards. U of I student Nicole Beck, public educator Dr. Laura Taylor, student organization La Colectiva, and community organization Champaign County Healthcare Consumers. Read more about their good work at www.mckinley-church.org.
In just over 2 weeks, Illinois' only maximum security female correction center, Dwight Penitentiary, will close its doors. For more than a decade, David Taylor has dedicated his time to Faith, Hope, and Love in Christ Ministries of Peoria. The retired printing press operator has counseled inmates in four prisons, including Dwight. Taylor says that he started when a pastor saw qualities in him that he didn't even see in himself. Illinois Public Media's Jeff Bossert spoke with Taylor.
One day I heard a sermon from the pastor of the church, and he said, "You know God's calling you to do something if it's way outside your comfort zone." And I compared my comfort zone at that time to the size of a baseball diamond, 90 feet by 90 feet by 90, 90 foot square. And since most people are familiar with Wrigley Field, I says, I didn't even feel like it was on Sheffield Avenue, let alone inside the ballpark. But after I did the first couple, it is a comfort zone for me. I don't have any problems going into I go into Pontiac Correctional Center, which is a maximum security. And Stateville, which is my home prison, that's where I went through all the detail work to get qualified as a prison volunteer. So they're the two. The other maximum security, men's maximum security unit is Menards, which is way down south. I've never been there, but I've been in Stateville and Pontiac quite regularly.
So when you were training for this, did you always feel good about it?
Yes, I did. I did feel good about it. And I felt it was the Lord's calling.
Where was your first experience? What facility did you go to?
The very first one?
Yeah.
Dwight Correctional Center.
Okay.
Yeah.
So did you immediately feel this kind of connection to these female inmates and build relationships?
I didn't really start building any relationships until after I retired and was asked by one of the other participants if I would be interested in doing a Bible study under the auspices of the for lack of a sponsorship of the Gideons. And that's when I got really involved in the Dwight Correctional Center on a weekly basis. There, we have developed what you would say relationships.
Can we talk about the range of what they're incarcerated for?
From maximum, one of the inmates in there was who has been there the longest, and Patricia Colombo. I don't think most people remember what she was involved in, but she's been there for a long time, over 30 years, because she was sentenced there before I moved down there. And women that are in there for DUIs, and at one time when I moved down to Dwight in 1983, it was the only women's prison they had. So,
but you've counseled men as well. I mean, you've been to other facilities.
Oh, yeah. Probably spent as much time with the men as I have with the women.
But it's all in your comfort zone? You've been sitting across from someone convicted of murder?
Don't feel bad. In fact, I never ask them what they've done because I don't want to know. I don't need to know. Let me put it that way. I don't need to know what they've done because the Lord, through his son Jesus Christ on the cross, did that so everybody could be forgiven. So I don't want to know, or I don't need to know, let me put it that way, what the person has done, because whatever I've done, if the Lord can forgive me, he can forgive them, no matter who they are or what they've done.
So is there just a full range of things that you talk about? You know, what sort of issues do they, is it simply them finding a connection to the Lord, or is it more about family relationships or relationships with other inmates?
A little bit of everything. Forgiveness, mostly. Some of them have a very, very difficult time forgiving themselves for. In fact, I've heard more than one of them have said, "Oh, I killed a human being. How can I be forgiven?" I don't need to know, but sometimes they tell me, "No, it doesn't bother me."
Well, another issue, I guess, is, and it's hard for someone like me to imagine prison feeling like home, but suddenly they have a new home. And you can talk about maybe some of the anxiety they've been feeling and you've been talking about.
It's amazing. Friday, we were notified, and everybody was pretty sure that was going to be our last day because they were told that some of the women will be moved They're going to walk the men from Logan to Lincoln and the women from Lincoln to Logan, which is just across the parking lot from each other. And yeah, there was quite a few of the gals said, I don't want to go. This is home. But by the same token, the amount of faith that they showed, but if this is the Lord's will, I guess we'll just have to put our faith in that he's going to take care of us.
Now, how is this arranged when you are you in, like we would expect in a movie where you're on each side of a glass, or are you in a room together?
No,
or how
we're
is
in a, we're in a room together. It's not like what the show, they show you in the movies, not even close. Actually, they had a chapel that was donated by the Christian Women's League. Whether the whole state of Illinois or just the in the northern area, I don't know, because I remember when they opened the chapel, it was very shortly after we moved down here. And that was all paid for by donations from the Christian Women's League to that chapel in Dwight. And we started doing it in the chapel itself, and then the group became a little bit larger than we had difficulty managing because there were so many of them. And then all of a sudden, with the help of the chaplain, why, it come down to a group of about 25 to 35, and there was a room off to the side of the chapel that we used it in, and it was quite rewarding.
Just two of you sitting in a room, and,
no.
And it's always been cordial, and you
well,
never felt...
Well, there was seven and whatever the number was, and until someone decided that we could no longer touch them, why, we would even, as we would greet them, we would hug them, and so then the decision was made 2 or 3 years ago that we couldn't touch them, or they couldn't touch us, whichever one. And that was kind of hard on them because they couldn't, you know, you hug a person, say God loves you, and it's comforting. Because one of the prisons that I do go into, one of the men's prisons, they still allow that to happen, and or either that or they might be turning their backs to it, but men need that as well as women, you know. It's not just one person by himself, although I have gone in by myself. But, again, it doesn't bother me.
I'm curious, have you been able to use some of these skills in just helping neighbors, friends in Dwight,
and
the economic impact of what's going to happen there?
I don't know yet. I really don't know what the economic impact is going to be. I mean, they can guesstimate it, but, you know, like, some of the people that are members of our church that work at Dwight Correctional Center are going to be moved to either Sheridan, Pontiac, or Stateville. So, you know, what it's going to be, well, for example, myself, my round trip from my house to the prison and back home again is 4.4 miles. Well, one of the volunteers that is in there, just about, I think he said it was close to 98 miles one way. So he's going to be much, much closer, and I'm going to be doing the 85 miles, not quite 90, but 85 miles, and I'm willing to do that.
Have you gotten to the point where at such an age I won't be able to do this anymore? Is that even in your line of thought right now?
Not right now. It's not in my line of thought.
I'll
be 76 on my next birthday, so it doesn't bother. You know, as long as the Lord wants me to do this, I think he will give me the physical capacity to do this. And that's, I don't worry about when I get to the point where I won't be able to. That might happen next year, for all I know. Nor do I even think about it.
You know, are you thinking that these women, how are they taking to this move in America? Are you helping them? You feel like you're being able to help them make this
transition? In some respects, we are, because we remind them, you know, remember that God is in charge. And we've reminded them, now how the women who don't participate in those programs, I have no idea. I know that there was a lot of anxiety before they finally got told exactly, because even the employees of the prison didn't know what was going to happen. So if there's anxiety by people who are in control, that's going to run down to the people who are at the bottom end. In some sense, it's not good that it's over with and it's going to participate. I mean, the action is going to take, and we'll just have to learn to live with it.
Jeff Bossert talked with David Taylor of Dwight, who volunteers his time providing faith-based counseling to inmates at 4 Illinois prisons, including the all-female facility in Dwight, which is slated to close March 31st. An extended interview can be found on our website, will.illinois.edu.
WILL programming is made possible by the Spice Box in Bevier Hall on campus, offering fine dining on Wednesday and Friday nights. The Spice Box is staffed and managed by students in the Hospitality Management Program. Reservations are required. More information is available online at www.spicebox.illinois.edu.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday, the 14th of March, 2013. The birthday of Sylvia Beach, born in Baltimore, 1887. She went over to Paris. She opened a bookstore lending library on the left bank called Shakespeare and Company. She sold English language books there. And there, in 1920, she met James Joyce just as he was finishing Ulysses. He couldn't get it published because all the big publishers thought it was too obscene. So even though she had never published a book before, Sylvia Beach offered to publish it for him and also edit the manuscript herself. And it came out on Joyce's birthday, February 2nd, 1922. She got in trouble during the Nazi occupation. A German officer came to the store in 1941, wanted to buy the copy of Finnegan's Wake that was on display in the window. She refused to sell it to him, and then she closed down the store. She had hired an 18-year-old Jewish girl as her assistant, and the Nazis had warned Sylvia to get rid of the girl. Sylvia refused. The girl was put on a train to Poland, never heard from again, and Sylvia Beach was sent to an internment camp for 6 months. Ernest Hemingway wrote about Sylvia Beach, "She had pretty legs, and she was kind, cheerful, and interested, and loved to make jokes and gossip. No one that I ever knew was nicer to me." It's the birthday of Albert Einstein, born in Ulm, Germany, 1879. He was a good student, despite what you've heard, always a star at math and physics, but he was cocky and somewhat disrespectful of his teachers. He thought he knew more than they did, and he may have been right. So none of his professors wanted to write him a recommendation, so he couldn't get a good job. Instead, he got a job as a clerk in the Swiss Patent Office in Bern, which actually suited him pretty well. The work was not hard, and he was able to spend time on his own scientific ideas. In 1905, he had a great year, published 4 important scientific papers in just a few months, including his theory of special relativity with the famous equation E equals mc squared. He was just 26 years old. Quit his job in 1909, became a professor of physics in Zurich, worked on his general theory of relativity, which came out in 1916. And then in 1919, 2 astronomers in different parts of the world observed a total solar eclipse that verified one of Einstein's theories. And this was noted around the world, and he became world famous. Came to America for a lecture tour.